Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, and it is the 4th of March, and I'm recording at 9:22 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time, here in sunny London, or it was earlier today. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. And first, though, I'm going to have a little look at this week, because what an exciting 3-4 weeks we've actually lived through, moving from people forecasting Armageddon and a well, that's a little bit extreme, but a replay of the 2008 crash, and instead we've seen a pretty steady and impressive rally. Well, let me take it sector by sector here first, starting with the Japanese stock market. That's done somewhat better, and it's helped a little bit by a cessation, at least a near-term cessation, in the strengthening of the yen against the U.S. dollar. Currently, we're looking at 113.87 yen to the U.S. dollar. I still like Japan on a long-term basis. Not many people go along with that or believe in that, as I do. But secular bear market giving way to a secular bull market, and it'll have plenty of interruptions in this environment, as we see with every other market. China. Very interesting, actually. If you look at the Chinese indices from the Shanghai Composite Index to the Hong Kong ones, the HSI and the HSCEI, the H shares, and they've got nice little rounding support patterns that have formed, little short-term formations forming near the lows or at the lows. And they have broken up, or are in the process of breaking up out of those patterns. China looks like a recovery candidate to me. Now, I know people have been appalled by all the developments that have occurred in China. The what seems like a fairly sort of ham-fisted government policies, and so on. But is China falling apart? Well, I certainly don't think so. And what we are experiencing, though, is a very bumpy transition from that largely export-based economy to a more developed type of economy, and more of a consumer-led economy. And I think that will continue. And I think that China... Well, it's certainly not for nervous investors, but I would feel that it's going to move somewhat higher this year. At Taiwan, similarly, India, I think, is particularly interesting. Now, India had suffered a bear market, like so many of these other developing markets. But this week, we've seen a big upside weekly key reversal. Weekly key reversal. If you don't know what that is, treat yourself to the chart seminar. But it's a bullish pattern following that ranging decline that we had seen. My guess is that India has bottomed, and additional follow-through in the next few weeks would provide confirming evidence of that. Now, how high is it going to go? Is it going to break through the all-time highs anytime soon? Well, no. But it can certainly recover from what was a deeply oversold condition at the beginning of the week. And I think those investors who are interested in India on a medium to longer term basis, well, I feel this is an opportunity to enter that market, ditto China. And looking at the various different, what we used to call the little tigers, remember, we're talking about Singapore and the Philippines and Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand. Well, they've had a horrendous time for a good many months. But again, those patterns are also improving. It looks like we've seen, well, we've definitely seen at least some near-term bottoms, and they may well be more like lengthy medium-term lows overall. So that is certainly an improvement. Now, what about these European stock market indices? Well, as far as the major ones are concerned, and I'm talking about the Euro Stoxx 50 index, I'm talking about the UK FTSE 100 index, the French index, the German index, Spanish, Italy, Netherlands, the Scandinavian indices, Swiss market index. Again, it looks to me as if at least near-term lows have been established, but they are probably much more than that. So again, there's a big improvement there. Then turning to the U.S. very briefly, I wrote about that yesterday in comment of the day and put up a number of indices. But let's put it this way: the S&P 500 index, we get this close, 1,999.99. That's a pretty interesting level. So right back at that 2000 level overall, just a fraction above that still declining 200-day moving average overall. And what I would suggest here is, while we know a lot about the toppy-looking patterns that we had seen in that U.S. market, but taking the S&P 500, now that probably won't be the leader overall, but it certainly is a very important and influential index. As long, now remember, it's just a tiniest fraction below the 2000 level. As long as it stays above 1800, I would give sideways to the upside the benefit of the doubt. Now, I don't want to see another test of that 1800 level, let alone a break beneath 1800. But we're not there. We are up above it. We've recovered from those range lows here once again. Will we go sideways for a lengthy period? Probably, in my opinion. But that's no bad thing. And what has actually helped? What has actually helped Wall Street to achieve that? Well, a couple of factors that I've been mentioning in these audios, and I believe Owen has in his as well. For a good many months, we needed to see a steadier performance from China. Well, it's too soon to be emphatic about the fact that China has bottomed, but it probably has. And we're still in a recovery phase here on those Chinese indices. So that's helping people to calm down here a little bit. The other factor that Owen and I have mentioned on many occasions is that we would need to see firmer oil prices overall, because while oil was hovering around that that $30 level on the Brent and the WTI indices, all people could think about was deflationary economic collapse. That's what they were actually talking about. Well, oil's a lot steadier these days. For instance, today the Brent crude, it's trading here after hours, but it's at $38.91. So that's a new recovery high. Up $1.84 here today. The WTI, also a new recovery high at $36.20, and that's up $1.62 as I speak. So we've seen a respectable recovery. I think we've almost certainly seen. Well, we know we've seen at least a short-term low, but I would say It is almost certainly a medium-term low and quite possibly a very significant low. Now, more about oil in terms of what it'll do over time, but because I'm still really in the stock market, in the stock market sector. But there's two big factors, the fear of China and the fear of these very, very depressed commodities, and particularly the oil market, that caused people to believe, as I to repeat this point about this sort of deflationary, recessionary collapse, and they were looking for a repeat of, a lot of bears were looking for a repeat of the 2008. That's never been our view, and it isn't our view here today. It certainly won't be anytime soon. And I would say the U.S. is definitely recovering, and the technical action is consistent with recoveries from an oversold, overall bearish environment. And a factor that I've mentioned on innumerable occasions is that a lot of the deflation that we're seeing is a positive deflation. In other words, it's not that negative deflation of falling production, falling sales, and falling profits. What we are seeing is technology helping enormously, enabling us to produce more goods more cheaply, and to sell more of these cheaper goods. Not selling as much as we'd like to see in this global economy, which is still soft, but it's not the free fall disaster area that a lot of people have been forecasting. So, okay, what's going to happen here with these stock markets over the lengthy medium term? That's a tough call. There are no certainties in here. But here's my guess. My guess is that we have probably seen the worst for most indices, and that's very important. In other words, lows are in for at least the medium term. And I also feel, though, that while there's a lot of overhead resistance, a lot of uncertainty overall, I also feel that we are likely to see quite a bit of additional sideways trading overall. Now, that's hardly a disaster. And creates very much of a stock picker's market. And so that's a movable fashion. You'll notice, for instance, that biotechnology, which dominated for so long and well into 2000 and well through 2015 and into 2016, no, not into 2016, it had topped out before then, but well into 2015, runaway leader to the upside, it's out of favor. There are a few of the big biotech companies that are still doing really quite well, but again, having had that big bubble type condition in the market, we're likely to see a very lengthy convalescence and additional support building phase as valuations come down, and a lot of people book profits and so on, move on to other sectors looking for new areas. So we could see I think it'll take at least the rest of this year, and it could take more than a year for that NASDAQ biotechnology index to get back up through its high. Also, Iconic Apple, that is underperforming. It steadied a bit here, but I think it'll take Apple quite a bit of time to get back up through its high. There are too many concerns here about possibly having seen the best in terms of iPhone sales, and you know, you'll know the story, Apple story, probably better than I do, since you get so much coverage overall. But the leaders that we have seen in recent years, the point I'm making here is that we're getting some rotation. So what's the leading sector right now? Well, you guessed it. It's commodity shares and the actual commodities themselves, and that includes gold mines. And they are very much in form. They've seen huge percentage moves to the upside, but those are really only rallies that confirm that the lows are actually in. I think this sector will continue to perform. That's why I've concentrated on it here in my trading activity quite a bit recently, and I think I'll be continuing to do that for some time. So to try to wrap up here on stock markets, not a bad environment. A lot of nervousness, a lot of uncertainty, but the chances are that the really bad bear markets that we saw in countries like Brazil, chances are those are over. Are the bear markets over for the oil-producing economies? Well, the bear market's over in oil, but I think that it's how these big oil-producing majors, how they actually adjust to all this, how Russia adjusts to it, how the Middle Eastern markets adjust to it, that's a governance question. And I'm not convinced that we're going to see the best of governance, not least out of Russia. And the Middle East remains in turmoil, as you know. So I'm not keen to go in and buy Saudi Arabia, although there's definitely some short covering, and the market has steadied in here in the short term. But I am keen to buy a lot of these commodities. I haven't bought crude oil because there's so much supply above ground, but I think Owen and I have been on top of that bottoming out process in the last few months, really since January. And so again, repeat that point, we think the lows are in. Now, on a longer term basis, what about these stock markets? I think we're in this choppy ranging period while we try to get back to some sort of normal economic environment. It'll never be normal for a reason that you might not be expecting, but because of technology, this accelerated rate of technological innovation, that's very disruptive, not least in terms of employment. And I think that that's going to lead to a lot of uncertainty and a lot of choppiness, but it will also lead to quite a bit of GDP growth. And the corporations, as I've said all along, are going to be very often the major beneficiaries of these changes that we're seeing, accelerating rate of technological innovation. Now, a lot of these tech companies will do very well, but it's a volatile sector, and I think we really do need to look at charts very closely. And when these big tech companies in particular, when they lose upside momentum or get very overextended relative to rising 200-day moving averages, as we saw at the end of last year, we need to be very wary about that, because also, you can see a degree of obsolescence entering the sector or occurring within the sector very, very quickly. They're exciting companies. They can do incredibly well in the short term, and they can also become virtually redundant overnight. It's wise heads like Bill Gates, at least a couple of decades ago, said that when Microsoft was all the rage way back then, about how they had to run hard to stay in place because they could be replaced, and they were replaced for a while, sort of, in terms of being an ever bigger, stronger, more powerful company. But they've been reinventing themselves more recently, as you know. So not to digress too much, that tech is always going to be choppy over the medium term. Choppy performances among individual shares. But an exciting area, and the global economy, I feel, will certainly benefit from this, and not least, well, consumers, I think, will all benefit from this technological innovation, as we already have, and we will continue to benefit from it, and corporations will continue to benefit from it. So, I think it's just, do we have a lengthy medium term of choppy markets? Probably. But I think on the very longer term outlook, it's more bullish than that. What about government bonds? Well, I'm almost embarrassed to bring up the topic because I've been warning about government bonds for a very, very long time. And my subscribers who are bond specialists smiled patiently and said on occasion that they were still quite happy with the sector, and they've been right. My hat's off to you. I think, though, that if we didn't have this big scare, and you may feel the big scare is going to go on in perpetuity, I'm certainly not in that camp. And if we are over the worst of this bear market that we've seen in equities, then I think those bond markets are going to give up some of the very, very good gains that they have seen over the last quarter. We're already seeing evidence that that's starting to happen, with those U.S. Treasuries pushing up to 1.87 on the 10 years. In here today. It's a little small base formation forming in the lower side of their range, yield range. So I think monitor the charts in this fixed interest sector. I think it's risky. I think it's risky on a longer-term basis just because we do have such phenomenally low yields. Most of the bond bulls are consoling themselves, or not consoling themselves, but bolstering their confidence. They don't need to console themselves. They're bolstering their confidence by reading some of the press about no growth forever, no real economic recovery, big deflationary pressures. Well, if you buy into all that, then stay with the bonds. But if you think, no, you know, this, we're going to see these global economies improving somewhat over the next few years, then watch out in the bonds. They could be quite risky. What about currencies here? I don't want to go on all night, and let alone you don't want to have to hear me all night or whenever you listen to this. My biggest fear is the dollar index, although so far the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve, I maintain, have got this under control because they keep selling that dollar index as it gets up close to that upside trading range, the 100 level. And they knocked it back sharply yesterday, and they knocked it back a bit further in here today, and it's trading right now at 97.21. So I'd rather see it in the low 90s. My feeling is that this is a long-term consolidation before the dollar does go higher. If the dollar goes gradually higher on a long-term basis, that's not a problem. If the dollar were to go surging higher because everybody was afraid to be in anything other than the dollar as far as currencies were concerned, then that would be a big problem. It'd be a big problem for the U.S. economy. It's the one factor that I think could tip the U.S. economy into recession. I don't think the one known factor, at any rate. I don't think that's going to happen, because I think this surreptitious intervention, in other words, nobody knows for sure whether they are intervening, but I've been following this, well, don't want to sound like a boast of an old man here, but I've been watching central banks and dealing in currency. They deal in currencies all the time. They used to talk about it, which wasn't very smart. So now they do it in secret. And what all they have to do, all the U.S. Treasury and the Fed have to do, is to go in and sell the dollar index when they see it approaching that 100 level and keep knocking it back. And that will gradually discourage the people who keep buying it and trying to force a breakout to the upside. And they're capable of doing that. And especially now, I think something I mentioned in yesterday's audio, saying that now some of those bombed out resources currencies are improving. And also, not just the resources currencies, but some of the other emerging market currencies, the Indian rupee steadier, the Chinese renminbi is steadier in here now. So it's not just the dollar against all the rest. But my one caveat here on my reasonably benign forecast here is for global stock markets and GDP growth, which I expect to bumble along and gradually improve somewhat, is that as long as we don't get a big spike to the upside on the dollar, you get chaos in financial markets, and that can affect not only sentiment. Obviously, it'll affect sentiment, but also affect economic performance. Hopefully, that doesn't happen, and I'm of the view that it shouldn't happen. In other words, it can be prevented. Okay, what about these commodities? I go back to the oil, which I partially covered, but again, the lows were in, and I think in January, and we're in a recovery in here right now. There's a lot of supply above ground. There's been a lot of news about that, but mostly, all we've had is bearish news, and the market has been edging higher against that bearish news in the last few months. Well, that tells you something, and it's not edging higher because the dollar has been weak, because it hasn't, and these crude oil, big crude oil contracts are quoted in U.S. dollars. So I think, you know, we had an orgy of bad news. More importantly, the Saudi reckless experiment is not working out, and we are gradually working towards some sort of deal to curtail production, and some of the production is just waning, it's put on hold. I'll put it that way, and that's not just U.S. fracking activity, but more of that has been put on hold. So with commodities, and you've heard me say this a thousand times, with commodities, the big variable, particularly for all of them, the big variable is supply. And if you've got very depressed markets, yes, you want to see more demand for those commodities, And you will, if prices are very depressed, you will see demand pick up, just as we've seen demand for crude oil pick up despite the slow economic recovery. But it's supply that's the big variable, and you need to see the supply reductions. And there's nothing more likely to produce a supply reduction than very depressed prices, which is exactly what we've seen. So this is a hot sector. This commodities remain, and I'll stick with this forecast, that commodities are 2016's top performing sector. I like it very, I like them very much. Now, how high will crude oil go? Well, I certainly don't want to exaggerate the upside. There are some people who think that over the next few years, crude oil is going to get back up to $100 a barrel or more. I just don't see that. I just don't see it. And I think there's too much competition, too much substitution that's actually taking place. It would be pricing itself out of the market. That's not going to happen. And also, there's plenty of oil that can be brought to the market if the price starts to move up. Again, and go back to those shale producers. That's just one example. We're never going to run out of the oil that the global economy is going to require. There's just too much of it about, thanks to technology that we now know of and can produce. And these vast reserves of shale oil, probably most of it won't be tapped. Beyond the middle of this century, we may be using oil mostly in sort of chemical applications. It'll always be an important commodity, but are we going to be burning it? probably not, in my view. Although we certainly are still are in here today, and that will continue for a good few more years. Now, looking at industrial metals, it's somewhat similar to the oil situation. Again, technology made the production easier. I've often mentioned that in the past. And therefore, we're seeing, we saw big overproduction and also the big overestimates in terms of China's actual consumption. But we're beyond the worst of that, and the lows are in for these industrial commodities. And I think they will be ranging sideways to higher, sometimes in a volatile fashion, because they can be quite thin markets. For most of the rest of this year, in my opinion, I don't think they're going to go through the roof here. But partly because supply can be increased more readily than in the past. But the more important point is that they've seen their lows and they're now in a recovery phase here overall. And what about precious metals? Well, I was cautious about it in the beginning. Well, we knew they'd come down to a very interesting level, but then it was the question that knew that sort of late last year and the beginning of this year. But then the argument, why should people actually buy them? And we saw what that was. They were buying them because of fear. And I made the point that repeatedly that a fear rally on its own would not be sustainable beyond the lengthy short term or short medium term. Now, that's still a concern, but again, with all the negative interest rates that we've seen and with the commodity sector itself actually bottoming out and starting to perform, that's created a much more favorable disposition. And remember, nobody owned these things. Anybody who was doing anything in them, say this time last year, was short So, in terms of both the technical action, the very, very depressed prices, it's been and will go on being for quite some time a covering of short positions as people stay in there too long with those or keep coming back and feeling they can short it again. So it'll be covering short positions and then gradual reaccumulation by the stuff up, and a lot of countries will be doing that, not least China. So I think that will be interesting. In terms of the precious metals, if they're going to get a really good move, then we and let's take it on first the monetary metals, the mainly monetary metals, gold and silver. And I've always described silver as being high beta gold. Being high beta gold, it'll go down more in the bear markets and it'll go up more in the bull markets. And today was really the first day where we really saw silver start to outperform on the upside. Got up to $15.84. So getting back to a high, I think that we saw last month. It's come off that in after hours, but it's still up 40 cents, as I talked, just over 15.54. That outperformance by silver, I think, is a good a good sign. We also had a strong move in platinum in here today. It's currently trading after hours at 19. I beg your pardon, 980 and change. That's up $34 on the day. And gold bullion off its highs by $21 right now. It did get up to 12, got up to almost 1280, and it's currently 1258 and change. They've had a good platinum, palladium rather, did very well also, up nearly $21 in here, 563. So they'll probably see some consolidation next week, but overall, these are still in form, and I think we could see some additional recoveries. But the key point I want to make is if I'm right in being bullish, we need to see silver outperform on the upside more often than not. My guess is that we will see that. And agricultural commodities, well, again, supply, the big consideration. So weather conditions are hugely, hugely important there. But I think we've seen here also, I think we've seen most of the lows. Are we going to get into a commodity inflation problem? Well, probably not. But they're coming off ridiculously depressed lows, I'll put it that way. So that will push up inflation gauges somewhat. You can't have crude oil go way down to $30 and below, $27 at one stage. Can't have that happen and not have that obviously keep the inflation in check. And so if you then go on and double it from $30, that'll cause inflation to pick up a little bit. Probably won't affect stock markets, or may be favorable for stock markets because people will say, well, we're not going to get the severe deflationary recession. We're actually getting some growth, and that's causing people to pay up for a little bit more for some of these commodities. And the bond people would probably suffer some profit erosion. And on that note, apologies for the length of this big picture long-term outlook, and I'll just end here and wish you all a fantastic weekend after a very exciting week. All the best.